had our first session and our follow-up session for the Glory Days DVD study series for the Sunday adult class, and had good feedback today, and we'll continue to do next week. We got the video, and then the week after that, we'll probably discuss the video a little bit with a handout that I'll put together for you, and then we'll just kind of tag team it back and forth that way. Wednesday, this past Wednesday, had a couple ladies come that weren't able to see the video last week, so I asked if it was okay with the one person that was there, they had already seen it, if they'd like to see it again, and they said, you can never see it too many times. So good. I like that thought. So we were able to even show it Wednesday, and I don't know if we'll continue to do that on Wednesdays, but it just worked out that particular Wednesday. Again, it's an important part of our walk with God, amen, of where we're at and what he's doing with us. And you know, I want to. If nothing else, I want to succeed for him, because he's got so much invested in me. It's kind of like your employer. You know, they put a lot of training and teaching, a lot of stuff in you. Why do they do that? Do they put all that in you to watch you fail? Do they look at you and say, "Well, you're not going to make it. But we're still going to download all this information and do all this training, and we're going to do all this stuff for you in our company because we don't think you're going to make it and you're going to be useless." No, they look at you as a vital part of that company, and they hired you in to fulfill a position that they have need of. And so they don't hire people in with expectations of failure. They hire people in to say they're going to be here to help us accomplish our next agenda, our next goal, where we're wanting to go as a company. Why doesn't God, don't you think God does that same thing in us? What he puts in us is to sit there and say, "Okay, each and every one of you that are here, I've got something, a gift, a talent, and something in you that only I can put in you, but you've got to use it. You've got to be willing to say, 'Okay, Lord.'" And it'd usually be in those areas to where we feel most incapable of that God says, "But then that's when I'm capable of." And so he will put these things in you, and it's kind of hiding in you, and then God will put something within you to say, "Now go out and reach out and do this, or go out and be a part of this, or go out and take on this, or go out and volunteer for that." And you're going to say, "But I don't think I can handle that, God." Well, why would God have told you to do that? Does he set you out there to fail? No! God doesn't set us out there to fail in his kingdom. God sets us out there so that we accomplish what he wants for his kingdom, working through us. And so we all need to have an understanding of how vital we are to the kingdom of God. He doesn't make junk. He doesn't make losers. He doesn't make people out there just to breathe air and use up oxygen. We're here for a plan and a purpose for each and every one of our lives. And I encourage yourself, and I need to encourage myself, that I want to accomplish that. How about you? So Glory Day study comes along, and we're going through that. It's out of the book of Joshua. It's been there. We've shared now for about a month and a half on this thing. I think I started back in December, excited to get going into this. And so we've crossed over the Jordan. We've talked about things on one side of the Jordan and on the other side, and we've gotten to the point now to where last week we began to look at Jericho and taking over your Jericho. We understand these things in the Bible as examples of things, and back then it was things in the physical. You know, there was physically things happening because there is a Red Sea that he parted. There is a Jordan that he stopped the waters flowing. There was a Jericho that the walls come tumbling down. These are all things physically happening and happened back in the Old Testament. Today we're looking at it, and as Max Lucado says it, you know, we're not looking at going out and possessing land and taking land. This is more now, it's into the areas of the realms of the spiritual realm, because our battles are not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the things that we don't see. So, you know, it's amazing the things that you don't see, how it can mess up your mind, and how the enemy wants to do that. And so we've got to understand our strength and our ability and our tenacity comes from just us surrendering, first of all, to God, receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and then allowing him to just download stuff into us from the kingdom of God, and where I am weak, he is strong. When I need to renew my mind so that my mind is filled with what he has rather than what the world has. So I've got to do some changing in my thoughts. Have you had to change in your thoughts? You know, you've got to change your thoughts from the worldly things that you were thinking about into the kingdom things of what God wants you to think about. Because as we put our minds and our thoughts upon Him, we attain and we grow and we develop even greater, don't we? I had somebody listening to our, this goes on our website, and it's you can listen to it on the web. This person was talking to me, and they go, "Man, don't you ever stop and breathe?" I go, "Sometimes I don't. I just get going." They said, "Man," I said, "there's times I feel like I need an oxygen bottle up here." Stop and breathe. It's all good, Lord. But when you get to the things of what God has for us and what He is waiting for us to receive and take hold of and use, don't you think He's kind of waiting with excitement? You know, it's like, come on, just Janice, you can do it. Come on, I'm ready for you. Just grab a hold of this and run with it. You know, Linda, just take this and go. Dawn, this is how I'm going to help you. You know, Al, it's right there ready for you, man. It's right there. Just grab on and let's go. Because the thing that we understand is that He doesn't leave us. And see, that's what's exciting about God is that He's there with us. Now, we always think that, well, when we're going through a trouble, it doesn't seem like He's with us, but praise God, that's when He's really with us. When we're going through a hard time, when we're going through discouragement, when we're going through a loss of job, when we're going through, you know, health situations, when we're going through financial situations, whenever these things are happening in the real things in this real world, who here is living in the real world? We all are. So the real world has a lot of stuff that it puts in on you and tries to take from you. It'll just drain you. You know, the world will just drain you with everything that's happening out there. And so we need to find out that we need a church body. We need to be in His Word. We need to be in prayer. We need to meditate. We need to be in His presence. We need to be with Him 24/7. He's there with us 24/7 if we allow Him and if we recognize that. So glory days, taking your Jericho. Last week I talked about how Joshua, they've come across and they've camped out on the other side of the Jordan, and they were there for a few days. What's exciting, and I just was reading this again, and I'm going to say, in Joshua 5:13, the commander of the army of the Lord comes and sees Joshua. And he says, "And it's come to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes, and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite of him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him, and he said to him, 'Are you for us, or are you our adversary?' And he said, 'No, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?'" Well, you can stop there. Has anybody ever got that personal with God when He's there with you? And do you ever get to that point to say, "What is it, Lord, that you're saying to me?" That would help us out a lot. It would cut to the chase. A lot of times God there wants to tell us these things and we don't want to listen, or we want to do it our way first, or whatever the case might be. Or we don't have time, or we got to run here, or we got this on our schedule, or whatever the case is, because the world likes to keep you busy. The enemy, the devil, wants to keep you busy and just grinding your gears and keep you running. And so you just get exhausted. When you get exhausted, you begin to develop, you know, things health-wise, amen? You know, health-wise in your body. Just get exhausted in your body and everything starts falling apart. You can't sleep. You know, you're getting weak. You're getting more susceptible to colds and flus, and your body's wearing down, and your mind can't think, and your mind is going a mile a minute. You can't shut it down just to think of the things of God, because there's so much of the world just keeps going clickety-clickety-clickety in your mind. You've got to get to that point. And we've got to get there, like Joshua said, of what does my Lord say to Tim? What are you saying to me, Lord? What is it that I need to hear? What is it that you're wanting to tell me? What is it that you have for me that's going to help me? So Joshua, you know, he does that. And it says, the commander of the Lord's army says to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did that. But then I found this, and we continued reading just a little bit. It says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." Now, we understood as they crossed over that the kings and those people in the Jericho, and they heard how God was moving His people and how God was prevailing on their behalf of the things that happened in the River Jordan. And they began to, I think in one area here, in first of chapter 5, just real quick. So what it was, when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan, and before the children of Israel, their heart melted. There was no spirit in them, no longer because of the children of Israel. The enemy, those in that land, they began to hear already the rumblings of what God was about to do, what God was doing, what God had accomplished in his people. Are you his people? If you are his people, he is going to use you to accomplish great and mighty things. Cool. Sit down now. Don't run. But anyway, it says in the 6, it says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given, now they're looking from a distance, they're seeing the city, because why? Let me see if I can turn this power this thing on. The Jericho Challenge. Is that still plugged in back there? Oh, man. Wow, what happened? Stand up and just hold it up in the air. That's good. It's like back in those days when you had rabbit ear TV with aluminum foil. You know, the aluminum foil used to be the satellite dish of the 50s. I don't know. We'd get that aluminum foil and have it all cupped just right, and we thought that was just like bringing in those waves, man. I think it's working fine. Thank you. The ancient Jericho. So we see Jericho, and you know, that sits up on a hill, and it can be visible from where the children of Israel, you know, they're looking at a distance, and they're seeing this land out there. And anyway, so here we go, and it says, and the Lord says to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. So when did... Now, we know that a few days later, Joshua goes and shares with all the people and what the strategy of how they're going to take Jericho. And this is what the Lord said we're going to do. You guys can't say anything. We're going to have those with the trumpets or the ram's horns. They're going to be in front. We've got the ark. We've got people behind them. We're going to march. Everybody, you can't talk. But as they do go around, they are blowing the horns. Each day they blow the horn. There's just no shouting. But anyway, before that all happens, listen, and you have to look at the wording. The Lord says what? I have given. I have given into your hands already Jericho. You've not got it yet. You still see it at a distance that it's a challenge. You still see that it's a well-fortified city with all these walls. Remember, we talked about how the walls were designed in some of the areas of the trenches and the ways that they designed it. You know, double-walled. It stood about 23 feet, the first one. And then they had that earth embankment in some areas, so it'd be hard to put ladders to climb over. The inner wall was about 30 feet high from the bottom of the footings up. Well-fortified city. But God is already telling them, but I've given it to you already. Now, Joshua is looking at that, and how many? He's got a lot of men. You know, there's a lot of people that came across the river with him. But they didn't have a lot of war material. They didn't have battling rams and all this stuff, I don't think. They didn't have catapults and all this stuff that they were hauling with them. I never heard them saying that, you know, they did have soldiers and troops and things, but I don't think they were outfitted as some of the enemy that they were going up against. Some of the enemy in the Canaanite land and all that, they were powerful and they had a lot of forces and a lot of strength. But even with all of that, when they began to hear what God did with them crossing the Jordan and what God was doing, and they began to hear these things, their hearts, even the enemy's hearts, were melting away. One verse I read, and it's like they got paralyzed. So in our life today, even though our life is in the areas of spiritual battles that we're doing a lot of this, or that's where we're at, we have to understand that because of our strength with God and God in us, and God says, I've given you that, Tim. It's prepared for you, Tracy. It's over there to have you get it, Randy. I've prepared that job for you, and now you're going to go claim it by going through the application or whatever the case is. You're just going to go, and I'm going to continue to prepare it for you. So we've got to look at that as far as preparation, and even though maybe we don't see it happening in the now, we don't see it happening tomorrow, it might be next week, it might be next month, I don't know when the time frame is with God and in different areas of our life and where he's taking us and what he has prepared for us. Each area and each thing he's got prepared for us will take different amounts of time. But the thing is, we just have to rest and serve him and worship him and praise him, even in the down times, amen? You don't give up. So I found it kind of exciting, and it's always been there, and I guess you guys already knew that, and maybe you're not excited as I was when I read it again and again, and I thought, wait a minute. It says he had already given him. It wasn't like, I will give you, or I will plan to give it to you after you do this. Even before he said, what I'm going to have you do, he's already said, I've given it to you. And then he says, but this is how you're going to go about it. The seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before you the seventh day. He goes all through the thing of descriptions of what you're going to do. That helps us understand some things, that as much as God says, I've given it to you, and it's already yours to receive, there is a way that you're going to get it, and it's going to be by obeying me. You're not just going to go willy-nilly up to it and overtake this city. Just because I've given it to you doesn't mean you're just going to go up there. There's a plan. Now, we find out in God's plan that it's probably pretty crazy, right? You know, us in the military would say, well, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to battle that, you're going to have an attack team, you're going to have this, and you're going to have 3,000 guys go this way and all the way. No, Joshua goes to his team of people and he says, well, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to walk around it and be quiet, other than the trumpet sounding. We're going to go around it one day. After we're done, go back to camp. Hey, cool, let's do it. Second day, we're going to go around it, go back to camp. Third day, we're going to do it, go back to camp. And then what happened on that seventh day? That's when it all came together. That's when we're going to go around it seven times. And on that seventh time, it talked about what? And on that seventh time around, when the priest blew the trumpets in verse 16, Joshua said to the people, whisper, for the Lord has given you the city. Just talk real soft. The Lord's given you the city. No. He says what? He says shout! Shout for the Lord! Now I could just imagine, and remember we had talked about, okay, there's the city, there's the fortification. As they're going around there last week, we kind of went through this, hey, let them blow their trumpets, big deal. Those Israelites, they have no idea how effective the Jericho wall is at sound deadening. You know, those in the wall, they're probably looking at it going, well, this isn't going to be such a big deal. Man, these funny people are just walking around and they're playing their trumpets. They're not even saying anything. I don't even see any highly fortified militarily type stuff with them that's going to ram or anything like that. I don't even see them carrying ladders or nothing. How are they going to propel over these walls? When the Lord is there with you, when the Lord is there and going to knock down your Jericho, you don't need a ladder to climb over it, because why? You're going to walk through it. You're going to use, as it says in this book I was reading, that the walls, when the walls came tumbling down, that they just walked right over the walls. They didn't need to have ladders to climb over them. They were just, okay, let's go take it. Let's claim it. Well, anyway, that was kind of like yesterday or last week. We talked about a stronghold is an argument or a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We find in our society, we find in our lives individually, and even corporately, that there are strongholds and things that are holding us back. And they're usually going against the things of God. Different translations would call the stronghold, I had said last week, just to refresh you, King James says imaginations. NIV, pretensions. English Standard Version says lofty opinion, and the Message said warped philosophies. That's the stronghold. Warped philosophies is the argument that, you know, that hinders us a lot of these things of what God has. Just remember, a stronghold is a false premise that denies God's promise. You can look back through the history of the children of Israel and all the things they came through, and yes, they had hardships, and yes, they had hard times, and yes, there was things that they struggled with, but God was always there and brought them through it, over it, always protected them, even when he brought them out of Egypt. And actually, when Pharaoh and all his army was coming after them, and they got to the Red Sea, and it's like, well, great, why didn't he just kill us in Egypt? Why did we come out here, you know? Is that, you know, they were able to cross over, and then the enemy that was after them, God took care of. So we find that they had a lot of adversarial adversities and things like that, I guess, that were taking place as God was bringing him through these things. But we all have adversities in our life, even today, and we will have adversities in our life, and that's called life. It's called living. It's called breathing. But it's how you handle those adversities. It's how you allow those adversities to handle you. Now, do you allow the adversity to knock you down? Do you allow your adversity to make your day or to make your week? And then you gotta deal with that and allow it to direct your life? Or do you look at your adversity and say, okay, it's an adversity. I'm not denying it, you know. I'm not blind to a problem. I'm not blind to this financial need. I'm not blind to this illness I have, or I'm not blind to that I don't need a job or whatever it is, but I just know that someone is on my side that's going to take care of me. And in the natural, and what I see is the adversity, but I've got God. And God is going to go there before me, and he's going to prepare the battle. He's going to do the battle. I just need to walk in and claim what he's done. We, in our life, in our Christian walk, look at the glory days as, remember we had talked about, the three stages was Egypt reminds us of the bondage to sin as a Christian level of life. And then the wilderness is that of a Christian, but they're not living in a victory part of their life. They're a defeated Christian, still in the wilderness. And then there are those, if we can get to that point of going into Canaan, to where we walked into that promised land that God has prepared. And so this is for all of us. And I'm not wanting to just hype this up and you know, just make you feel good and go, ooh, that felt good. This is something that I truly believe that you can live it. I truly believe you can receive it, live it, let it function in your life, and to become victorious in these things. Now, it's kind of crazy, but it is that we are dealing with a battle in the spiritual realm against things that we don't see. But yet, as we battle those spiritual realms and put Satan where he needs to be, we will have things open up in the natural for us that we receive. It's kind of a crazy thing because, you know, how many times do you feel like, you know, if you're out job hunting that you just seem to be hitting a brick wall? Just nothing's happening. I'm going to church and I'm praying. I just keep hitting this wall. What's going on? Or whatever we're going through in a struggle. So we go into prayer and we turn it over to God. Remember I talked a few weeks or several months back now that I finally got the understanding, as you think of Daniel and all that too, about our prayers, that when we pray and we haven't seen the answer to the prayer come about in whatever time frame we're looking at, and you're starting to maybe get discouraged or whatever, or you've not seen the results, is then I think we need to begin to pray, or I thought anyways, maybe just for me personally, but I begin to pray that, Lord, I don't see it in the heavenlies, but if there's adversities that are keeping from your blessing coming all the way through, or for your hand of opening to take care of this, you know, if there's something in that spiritual realm that the enemy is trying to steal, kill, or destroy from me, Lord, I pray right now that you break through that. Send that archangel to break through that, because in Daniel, didn't it say that when you prayed, he heard it? The instant you prayed it, God heard it. The instant you prayed it, God heard it and answered it. It was just held up about 21 days in that heavenly realm to be answered. Why is that? The devil wants to be your adversity. The devil wants to try to hinder you as much as he can. And the longer he can hinder you, the more he has an opportunity to plant dumb thoughts in your head, like, you're not really saved. God doesn't really love you. Where is God when you need him? You've been praying now for 6 months. That brings me to this point. What are the languages of impossibility? What is the stronghold of guilt? How many here possibly have, today even, a stronghold of guilt? That is this: God could never forgive me. I am too bad. God can never forgive me. Wow. Well, you need to look at David and all these others back in the Old Testament and the things that they did and how they lived and, you know, murdering, adultery, and womanizing, and all these things that God used these people that were totally, like, we would look at them thinking, there ain't no way they're going to get anywhere. But God used them and came through them, and they found out that there was a purpose and a plan in their life that God was able to pull out and use. Why is it that you look at all these things that God used, and I never recall it really to the point of seeing people that were highly educated, highly with a lot of authority back in those days, that had a lot going on in the right direction, not too many of them that God pull on to say, this is what I want you to do. God looked at those that were having problems. God looked at those that were like the farthest from perfect. But he had something in them that he could work with. And there were some of those then that said, okay, whatever, Lord, I'm yours. Well, that was in the study in, as far as what he did with the children of Israel and even in the Old Testament of people that he used. But don't you see that in your studies? Don't you see that in your readings in the past of the things that, you know, even Peter, you know, how many here have ever denied Christ? I have. But yet, he loves me. And when I realized that I denied him or I didn't do it right or I should have done it better, that I couldn't have gone and I didn't go to him and say, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. You know, denying Christ could be as simple as when he says, I want you to share my love with this person over here. And you go, I ain't got time. I don't know. They're not going to be ready. I've heard them talk to so-and-so talk to him. And then I heard him in the break room and they were making fun of that guy that was talking to him about you, Lord. I don't think they're ready, Lord. Well, then he's saying, you're denying me on what I can do to that person now. So that's denying. You know, there's a lot of ways to look at these things. But we understand that when we recognize that in our spirit that we can ask for forgiveness. And that's this thing here where it says the stronghold of guilt. The enemy wants to keep you held down with guilt. You've done it. I'm not denying I done it. Yes, I did. But then we forget to say, but I turned that over to God and asked for forgiveness and he took it from me and he forgave me. But then something will come up and the enemy will sit there and say, but do you think God really forgave you? So we have that stronghold of guilt. These are the language of impossibility. What about the stronghold of resentment? We have resentment in us. So number one, we had the guilt. Well, God can never forgive me. What? You know, you think of that. You're actually, when you start saying that, you're really kind of saying, God's not a very big God. And he is. What about the stronghold of resentment? Resentment would be that person that says, well, I can never forgive that person. What they did to me, what I had to receive and because of what they did and what they put me through, I'll never. Anybody been there? I'll never give them another time of day. I will never talk to them again. I will not even forgive them. Resentment. Wow. That'll hold you down too, won't it? What about this? Though, anybody here have self-pity? The languages of impossibility. Self-pity. Bad things, they always happen to me. Little old me. Why should I try? Why should I even put an effort out there? It's not going to do any better. I'm just going to sit here and wallow in my self-pity. You know? Poor me. And the enemy knows all these things. He knows these hot buttons in us. He knows these things that he can get on us. And he will come on your shoulder and he will say, Tim, you are totally right. I have never seen somebody in this life. You know, the devil's talking to me. He goes, I've seen a lot of people, Tim, but boy, I tell you what, you really have a lot of bad things happen to you all the time. You must have been made on a Monday. Then they talk about that in manufacturing of cars. Never get a car on Monday or Friday or something like that. I don't know. Monday, they're coming back dragging. Friday, they can care less. They just want the weekend. You know, well, go slap that baby in there. It don't matter. No, God doesn't make junk. No, but the devil would like to just really make you feel like the devil will jump on your side and make you feel like, yeah, that's right. I do have a reason to be pitied on myself. Self-pity. Bad things are always happening to me. Now we get the stronghold of pride. We deal with that. That's where I've got to be in charge. That's what gets us in trouble with God, though, too, is that we want to be in charge with God. It's my pride. Lord, I can do it. I don't need your help. Well, don't say that. Because he'll let you do it on your own for a while. And then if you're wise enough, you will sit there and recall those words, and you will say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Boy, was I dumb. Pride, I can be in charge. The stronghold of rejection is another one, and it's, I don't deserve to be loved. You know, we have a hard time. You will have a hard time sharing the love of God and forgiveness with those that are going through this. Because why? Anybody ever talk to somebody that says, I don't deserve that? Can't receive it. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what's happened. You don't, whatever the case might be. And that holds them down, and then you come to try to talk the things of the love of God. He loves you. He can't love me. I don't deserve it. Well, yeah, I know you don't deserve it. I don't deserve what he did for me either. You know, I can understand that. But there is a point in time where they feel so much that it's a hard thing when you don't have love. Long time back, I think it was in the 70s, there's a little pin that came out, and it was, I think, through the Rex Humbard Association, and it said, you are loved, or I am loved. And it was just a heart with a saying that I'm loved. Try to get that across to people that don't feel like they can be loved. That's like talking to that wall, trying to let them know that you can be loved, and you can be forgiven, and God will be the God of forgiveness, and God has made a way of forgiveness for you through his Son, Jesus Christ, because it says, for God so loved the world. Are you part of the world? Are you part of here? Are you here now? God says he loves you. What about the stronghold of defeat? I'll never recover. I'll never get better. It's just the way it is. You know, it all kind of starts blending together when you start looking at these languages of impossibilities. And we live a lot of these languages of impossibilities every day in some actions of our lives. The stronghold of defeat, I'll never recover. The stronghold of performance, well, I must be good or God's going to reject me. You got to perform. You got to do it to make him love you. We think of that in some of the naturals to where how many kids I got to be good so my daddy will love me, or I got to do this so my mom and dad will love me. And in actuality, is your mom and dad are going to say, I love you no matter what. I love you no matter what. And that's the same love that God has for us, that he loves us no matter what. He wants us to change. He wants us to achieve. He wants us to accomplish things that he has for us, that he has prepared for us. Not any one of us is more important than the other. We talk about that of the body and every member of the body, how important it is. You know, we've got to understand those things, that no matter what we are in the body of Christ, we are important. God has a desire and a plan for us, and he's put us here in a place and a time for a reason. Amen. You're here today for a reason. You're here today for a purpose. You're here today not to listen to me. You're here today, I hope, to receive something out of his word, something from Joshua, something from taking over Jericho, something out of this area of languages of impossibilities to hang on a little bit, to say, that's what it is, and I'm going to come through that. Through and with God's help, I'm going to cover that area, or I'm going to break that wall down, and I'm going to conquer my Jericho. How many here have a Jericho in your life? We have them out there. And you've got to realize, generally, that Jerichos in our lives is things that have built such a stronghold in our life for many years, decades maybe, that we have a hard time. And that's where I think we get into that area with our walk with God, is that we've dealt with it, and it's been a Jericho in our life for so long that we see it as an impossibility. We see it as it's impossible to accomplish, it's impossible to receive it, it's impossible to overcome it, and I'm just going to get used to it and live with it. Defeated attitude. You're saying that your God is not powerful enough to break through that. That's kind of like kicking him in the shin, saying, you're a weak God. When God says in his word, my battle is mine, or your battle is mine, you know, the battle is his, and he's there for you. And so as we look at these areas, and this book is talking to the church. This book is talking to the Christian. Remember, this all started out with that reveal study of saying only 11% of 1,000-plus people or 1,000-plus churches asked, only 11% or thereabout felt they were living in a victory of life with God. That's the church. The church is only at 11% of victory. My goodness, 11 out of 100 or whatever the case is. That, you know, that day when I started this out in December, it's like, that means what I've got in here, we might only have 1.5 persons here that are walking in a victorious life, maybe, if statistics are right. I hope not. I hope we're a church that's on the other side of that a little bit, through whatever, you know, drawing our attention to it, bringing it before you, and encouraging you to the things of what God has done for you, that we can begin to walk out through these things. But it is a terrible thing to look at. And no wonder our churches are not making a difference in our society, because the churches are only at 11% of strength. The rest of it is, oh, I can't forgive that person. Oh, bad things always happen to me. Oh, I've got to be in charge. Oh, I don't deserve to be loved. All these things that are the languages of impossibilities that keeps even the church down. If we are still discussing these things of your worthiness, then we've failed. Because if we can get to that point of Christ died for you, died for all sinners, red or yellow, black or white, male, female, whatever nationality, Christ died for you individually. And if you receive him and be reconciled back to the Father, amen, that's that reconciliation, coming back to God. Because God wants that. God desires that. God's plan is for that. God says, come back to me. And here's the way you're going to do it. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He died for you. He cleansed your sins. By his stripes you're healed. By all these things, we look at what Jesus accomplished because of God's love for us. Wow. Anyway. Just as the devil had strongholds in your life, you've tried everything to try and overcome them on your own, but to no avail. And then you meet up with Jesus and things changed. You need to realize that you now have the victory, not still trying to gain the victory, and that's what it is. A lot of us are still trying to gain the victory. We're still trying to battle. We're still trying to fight those things when you realize that the victory is his. The victory is ours already. It's not are you trying to get your victory. The thing is, are you claiming your victory and walking in it already? When you have victory already, are you still battling? In the natural, when you go to war, when there is a victory that has been declared, are they still sending resources to fight that battle once the other side gives up? Generally, no. The battle is over. They've signed surrender. Now let's move on. That's what we as children of Christ, as the children of God, as the kingdom is within us and here. You know, we talked about the kingdom is, November and October-ish, we talked about the kingdom. The kingdom message is about the kingdom is here. You know, it's not out there somewhere. We want the kingdom here. We want to pursue it and we want to be in it. We want to be a part of the kingdom of God even here. So it's still not trying to gain the victory in your dealings with the devil. Let's see. You need to realize that you now have the victory, not still trying to gain the victory. Blow your trumpet, John 19:30. It is finished. Whatever you're going through, it's already finished. He's not here, he is risen. We serve a risen Savior. Our Savior is alive and at the right hand of God the Father, the right hand, the right side, the power seat. Amen. Matthew 28:6. In Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. All these things are in His Word to help us to bring us under that understanding of the victory that is already ours. It's to understand that Jericho that is in your life. Maybe you're still crossing the Jordan. I don't know. Maybe you're still trying to get through the Red Sea. I don't know where you're at, but I know God has made a way, and I know God has prepared it for you if you will just step into it and trust Him. You need to call up scriptures as who you are in Christ, and that will scatter the demons. Send them on their way. Just think, the very walls that protected the city of Jericho, once they fell, they became stepping stones into the city. Hallelujah. You're going to step over your problems. Your problems, if nothing else, are just going to elevate you higher to a level with God. If you want to climb up and sit on daddy's lap, you know, step on your problems that are all been decided and beaten down and you've won victory over them, and use them as stepping stones to say, here I am, Father. Woo, let's get together. I'm here. Closing out this today. Defeat your strongholds with the spiritual weapons of worship, scripture, and prayer. Move to the promises of God and live in the victory that you have. You need to give a shout, and that the walls that are hindering you will become tumbling down. And sometime back, I don't know if we gave this out or we had this put together. Actually, it's nothing that I've done. You can go to Joyce Meyer's website. There's other websites out there, but this is, I think, out of Joyce Meyer's, Who I Am in Christ. These things are powerful. It's I don't know how many verses there are, but it's all these things of who you are in Christ. When you go through a problem, when you are standing at the crossroads, when you don't know which end is up, you begin to confess these things. You begin to see these things in your life that, you know, I am holy and without blame before Him in love. The devil's going to say, he can't love you. Oh, yeah, ha, ha. I am holy and without blame. I have the peace of God that passes the understanding. I have the greater one living in me, and greater is He is in me than He is in the world. You know, it goes on and on. I can do all things through Christ. We just talked about that. I am a spirit being alive to God. I'm a new creature in Christ. I am God's workmanship. And God doesn't make junk. I'm a doer of the word. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror through Him. I'm an overcomer by the blood. That's how we overcome these things. That's how we have that victory. That's how we break down those Jericho walls, is to understand who we are. Now, you might have to remind the devil of who you are. And the devil might be saying, do you really even know who you are? And some people will go, well, I'm always having problems, and it's just not my time, and I guess it's just the way it's going to be. And the devil goes, hey, I got victory over that guy or that gal. But if you come, and the devil might say, you know, hey, do you know who you are? And you begin to, and you know, you can kind of put these in the memory. If you need the sheet, go on the website or let me know, and I got copies of this thing. Put it in your Bible or do something, I don't know, and just pull it out when you're having a rough time. And just days are having, you got more problems than day, I don't know. You just need to pull these things out. I am greatly loved by God. I am strengthened by all. I am strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. His glory. See, we're putting an emphasis on Him. It's Him. It's not me, but it's Him living in me. And He's using me and working through me. And that's what the world needs to see as we begin to show these things. That's, I can go on and on and on, but I know you guys want to go home. Why? I know you guys are saying, oh my gosh. I'm just like, I can't stop. That's why this thing was just boiling in me, man. It can be dangerous. But it's because I know my God is there for me. I know I've got a better life here on this earth than even what I've got right now. I know that I've got a walk into some things. I know I've got to overtake some things. I know I've got to surrender some things. I know I've got to look at things differently. I got to look at them as God looks at them and not as I look at them. I got to realize that when these things are happening and God gives you a word and God comes to you like Joshua and he says, I have given that to you already. That you've got to remember that when the enemy comes and says, you can't have that, because you're going to have to say, my God said he's given it to me already. And I'm going to claim it already because he said it. Well, have you got there yet to battle it? No, but when I get there, it's mine already. And when I get there, if I have to just be quiet and look at it and just say, nothing. If that's what the Lord has told me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to accomplish what God has accomplished already for me. I guess it gets to the point where you just need to receive it. Just receive what he has done. Well, I got to do it. I got to help him. Well, you'll mess it up. If you try to help him, you'll sidetrack it and it'll take maybe a year longer. You know, we had good testimony today in Sunday school about some things that people, and we all go through it, that, you know, God has a way and all, and we just want to say, well, I want to do it this way, and this is what I need, and you just tag along, God. You know, just here, follow me, God. I'm going to show you how I'm going to run my life. God does not take a back seat. God says, you're on your own. I'll come back when you call. And he goes and does something else. Because he knows. He knows that down the road you're going to go, oh God, forgive me. Please help me. And there he is. Because he loves you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you for this day and we love you for your message. We love you, Father, how it strengthens.